Hello, everyone. My name is Donna Richard Abel Tobiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve as a priestess starting very soon. Now, it is time to find your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Donna Yisrael Abel Onaya Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. Now I'd like to turn it over to the priest of the Hasiai.
Okay, the last time I was speaking, one of the things that I had researched out and studied was preach and publish. Now, everybody knows that this is a law. This is a commandment. The house of Yahweh is commanded to both preach and publish. And it's positive law, number 15, and it comes from Deuteronomy 6:9. And it says, and you shall write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And again, it's positive law, number 15, preach and publish Yahweh's laws. Now, I did a gematria on preach and publish, and these are the numbers that came up, 591, 942, and 157. And I focused on 157, because in the Hebrew, the Strong's red-letter edition Hebrew, 157 is a primitive root, and it means to have affection for, beloved. And I underlined and highlighted the word beloved, because we know where that is said in the scriptures, where Yahweh calls Yisrael Yeshurun, and that was described as beloved Yisrael. So the overseer, in his first book of Yisrael, on the title page, he has Isaiah 44, 1 through 3, and 23, where he talks, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yeshurun, beloved Israel, whom I have appointed. So, the overseer, in his zealous zeal for doing all of the laws of Yahweh, actually included this scripture, never realizing that when somebody was doing a research on preach and publish, it would actually be a second witness as him being the beloved Yisrael of Yahweh. Now, I remember a dream. I don't know if you remember this sermon, but I remember a sermon when the overseer had said that he had a dream, and he pictured all along the walls of the sanctuary, row upon row, shelf upon shelf, of the books of Yisrael explaining and fine-tuning the laws of Yahweh. And right now, with this first book of Yisrael, he actually started that prophecy to come to be fulfilled. Okay, now, another thing that this preach and published, does everybody remember Hotbird 613? Do you remember when it first went online? If I could have my slide. Hotbird 613 is a satellite. It's Hotbird 6 satellite, it's 613 degrees east. That is the satellite. This picture was pictured on the back of the newsletters from 2006 to 2007. And it shows the footprint of the satellite. That footprint means the satellite covered that whole area. Anybody in that colored area was able to pick up the satellite, which preach and publish to the world. Now, this footprint covered the same footprint as the Holy Roman Empire. If I could have my second, the other slide. This is a picture of the Holy Roman Empire when it was at its highest, when it was at its peak. That was actually controlled by the Vatican. That's why it was called the Holy Roman Empire. That was in CE 117. So Hotbird 613 covered the same coverage as the Holy Roman Empire. And we've heard that the Holy Roman Empire is coming back. And that's another whole nother research. Okay? Now, if you want to study this out yourself, if you go to the seventh book of Yisroel, part 1, chapter 21, and the seventh book of Yisroel, part 2, chapter 16. Chapter 21, verse 16 actually explains and gives the dates of when Hotbird 613 went online. It was supposed to go on October 13th, 2005. It actually went on November 5th, 2005. And then for the verse, chapter 16 from Book of Yisroel, part 2, verse 112, this is where he actually says that if they tune into that channel, that's Hotbird 613, if they tune in, they don't get anyone else but the house of Yahweh because we got it 24 hours a day. So this is how the overseer actually started to fulfill this prophecy of publish and preach, and it's to reach the world. Now, if you go to Matithiah 24:14 and Yochanan 13:10, 24:14 says, "And this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations." Yochanan Mark 13:10 says, "But the message first must be published throughout all the nations." And it was published from the newsletters that the overseer wrote. And on the back of the newsletters, he actually showed in 2006 the footprint of the Hotbird 613 covering over the footprint of the Holy Roman Empire. Please study this out with the Books of Yisroel, the Yisroel Says program, and the AskYisroel.com. And we will continue this with another speech. Thank you so much. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. So I got to start off by saying that Yahweh is so amazing and so powerful because Yahweh is in full control and he is in every single little detail. And I would like to talk about the number 12. So one of the things I found out about the number 12, it's perfection and completion. Now, I'm going to start off by saying that it's so amazing because we're at the very end of the 6,000-year plan for man, and Yahweh is teaching mankind what the ways of sin will bring. So we are in very serious times, but it's also so exciting and comforting because since we know through Yisroel Hawkins that Yahweh is in full control and he's going to protect all those who choose righteousness and be a part of Yahweh's house and be a part of Yahweh's plan. So this plan for man is to prove to heavens and earth what sin brings and to teach us the curses of sin. And he will allow four-fifths. This is the sad part. It's a part of Yahweh's mercy. So he's going to allow four-fifths of the earth's population to be wiped out. And this is also shown in Isaiah chapter 24. You know, the curse will devour the earth, and those who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, you know, the one-hour burning, and few men left. And we are shown in Isaiah chapter 14, who's bringing this upon earth? Who's bringing this upon mankind? And we all know that Satan is the one that has brought this upon mankind. And if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 14, I'm sorry if I'm going too fast. Isaiah 14 verse 16. Those who see you will stare at you and they will talk about you saying, is this the one, the adversary who shook the earth and made the kingdoms tremble? Is this the one who made the earth like a wilderness, who overthrew the cities in it, and who would not let her captive go free? So going back to the 1212, there was a lot of things that were popping up in the Amatria that came out to 1212. And I want to give the definitions of 1212 real quick if we haven't already. And so here's the definitions of 1212. For Hebrew, it's Betzayel, and it's from 6738 and 410. And it's in the shadow protection of the Almighty. And as you can see, the 6738 shows it's a shade or shadow of protection. And then the 410 means strength, mighty, an oak or other strong tree, specifically a chief politically. So going down to the next, the 202, it's ability, power, and strength. But in the Greek, we have the 1212, and it means clear, evident, certain, manifest. Now, whenever you hear that word manifest, what does it remind you of? The manifestations of the sons and daughters of Yahweh, right? Clear to the mind. And then 202 we have in the Greek means a hearer, to hear, be reported, understand, and come to the ears. So for the Amatria, here's what's awesome. We have, and I'm just going to go through them real quick. Strength of Yahweh, Yahweh's salvation, get this, priesthood nation. And the next one. We have Yahweh's spokesman, comes in name of Yahweh, last days Philadelphia. And I wanted to also add to that, the HaKakan Akkad membership is also 1212. And I was like, wow, that's super awesome. Praise Yahweh. So then Yahweh put it in my mind, 512, Yahweh's in full control, right? So I took out the 12th book of Yisrael, and I would like to show it on the monitor. 12th book of Yisrael, you get that at the South Office or yahweh.com and order it online. And on chapter 20, the title says, the times spoken of in Luke 21:24 is being fulfilled in the work of the white buffalo. So then I had to put that in the Yamatria. And guess what comes out? One of the numbers is 4320. So I looked that up in the Strong's on BibleHub.com, and it meant Micaiah. So it immediately popped into my mind, Daniel 12:1. And at that time, will Micaiah stand up? Yisrael, the great priest who stands at Abel, who stands for the children of your people, and there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, remembering what the 1212 meant. And then it also came into my mind, when you, I'm into math, hardcore. 12 times 12 equals 144. So that is the holy priesthood that Yahweh is forming. And he's completing his plan these last days. And it's in every single little detail. Like, I'll pick up, like, little things here and a little things there and a little things there. And when you start putting all these things together, you get a bigger picture of the power that Yahweh has. It's absolutely amazing. And I know y'all experience this every day in your lives too, and it's so exciting and encouraging. So praise Yahweh. It's super exciting to stand before the great sons and daughters of Yahweh. Y'all continue to do practice righteousness and do the best that you can. I know everybody's putting forth all their effort, because I see it every single day in each and every one of y'all. And with that, if y'all all please stand. Yahweh's peace continue to dwell within you. I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, saints of Yahweh. Please take your seat in the great house of Yahweh. Now, if you notice on the screen up on top, this is where this year's talk started. The other night in class, we were going over this prophetic word, and we had two great teachers. And the first teacher was expounding on page 10 of this 8th month newsletter, or prophetic word. And on that page is Psalm 118:26. And we know that says about where our blessings come from. So in the Yamatria, I put, where do blessings come from today? And we see the answer is here, and it's also in Psalm 118:26. only out of the house of Yahweh do our blessings come. So let's go over some of these numbers together. The Hebrew 2214 comes from 2114, and that means estrangement, separated, cast away, to toss, scatter, a stranger. And that's what each and every one of us were before Yahweh called us to his house. We were tossed to and fro, groping in darkness. Satan had us pushed down. We were strangers. Now let's go to the Greek, 2214. And that means a searching, a seeking. And that comes from 2212, which means to seek to worship Yahweh, to seek, to ask, seeking the kingdom of Yahweh. And it gave the scriptural reference, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. So then when Yahweh called us, we were no longer strangers because we sought the house of Yahweh. Now that 2022 means a promotion. And we know that goes to Isaiah 2:2, the mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh, Micaiah 4:1-3. Now that second, the 2022 that goes to the Greek is interesting. It means to pour, like you're pouring something upon, in order to be cleansed. And so the only place that that word referenced to was on page 791 of your scriptures, or 795 of your scriptures, so please turn there. It's Luke 10:34. And I want you to notice who we're really talking about in this scripture, who this really is referencing. You can tell just by that scripture reference, 10:34, Revelation 10:7, you add those 3 and 4 together and you get 7. It's talking here about our anointed one. Now, we know the story about this Samaritan man that helped this man that had been beaten up, thrown to the side of the road, and left for dead. Along came a Samaritan man. Who was this Samaritan? No other than the great overseer. See, 828, the date he was born? Yeah, he was there too. And so we go on reading on 34, it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw this man, he had compassion on him. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring olive oil and wine over them. So he pours oil, and this is the Samaritan man again, 828, the great overseer. Now, what do you think that oil represents? None other than the great golden oil that comes from his mouth. He's healing him with the words of Yahweh. And he set him on his own animal, and it says here he brought him to an inn and took care of him. Well, we know he would not take him to an inn, so he called him to the house and cared for him just like he does for each and every one of us. So you see, when we're looking at this story, it's a story about what the overseer did for every one of us. Before we came to the house of Yahweh, when we got here, he poured that golden oil in our minds. So now, when let's go to that number 337 that went to where do blessings come from today? It means alas, finally, a crying out, a desire, a longing for. And in the Greek, it means to take for oneself, to prefer, chosen by Yahweh, to select and to expiate sin, which means to get rid of sin, and that's what the overseer is doing when he brings forth this golden oil. It goes to number 142, where it says, Yahweh raises up so that the branch can be fruitful. So when I took all those numbers from where do blessings come from today, it came to 4573, and that meant, in the Hebrew, an ornament of Yahweh, to bedeck, adorn. And then it says he passed to advance. Now we're talking about the overseer here. He's getting ready to advance, and we're getting ready to advance with him. He doesn't let us behind. Ornament in the Strong's is number 5716, and it says in the sense of finery, an outfit. Did we not get the purple linen? Did we not get that? It wasn't just the overseer. He wanted to make sure we all got that. And also it said a mouth, which I thought was pretty odd. But when I put the words adorned mouth in the Yematria, it came up to 828. Because Adorn means to beautify, and what comes out of this man's mouth only is what beautifies the house of Yahweh, builds up the house of Yahweh, glorifies Great Father Yahweh. So now in the Greek, 45:73 means to venerate, adore, worship. And in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, it's in volume 7. Now listen to these numbers. It's in volume 7. He's the seventh Malach. We're the seventh work. And page 172, Law 172, you must listen to and obey Yahweh's anointed one. It's all about the overseer bringing forth this great kingdom. Now, the word for that in the Greek, and I'm not even going to try to say it, but it's I put in the Yemetria, who is a, can we see that word? That's what it, the word was. I'm not going to even try to say it, but look who it is. It's 1074. That's the overseer's tag number. He is that one who adores Yahweh and worships him and glorifies him, and we do the same thing because of him. Now, I want you to look at this next imagery because it's pretty amazing. When I put those numbers, words in, adorn mouth and he pours oil, both of them had those same exact numbers. If you remember when I showed them to you individually. So I thought that number 752 must be pretty important because Yahweh wanted us to see it twice. So in the Hebrew, it means something expansive, to spread out. And the Greek means singleness of mind. And we saw that spreading out on our first speaker where she showed where we went on Hot Bird. She showed where we're preaching and publishing the message. He is spreading out. He's spreading Yahweh's message out. And in the Greek, it means singleness of mind, sincerity of mind, generous, of single purpose. Does the overseer have any other purpose than to build the holy house of Yahweh? We know he doesn't. That's all that's on his mind. He's innocent, no mixture, absence of evil, undeceitful, unadulterated, sincere, of the teaching of Yahweh's words, harmless, pure, choosing only what glorifies Yahweh. Now also, let's turn to Revelation 22:14, because that was the number that went with where do our blessings come from. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are those who keep his laws, Yahweh's laws, that they will have right to the tree of life and will enter in through the gates into that city. And those gates we know as Genesis 28:17 shows us is none other than the great house of Yahweh. Let us all give honor and glory this day, to Yahweh this day as we bring up our next speaker.
Shalom, please be seated. So, do you want to guess what's in this box? I'll tell you later. The title of my speech today is, This Tree is Growing. This Tree is Growing. The last time that Pastor spoke, there was over 563,000 views. Now, praise Yahweh, yes. That's a half a million, over a half a million. When you look at it like that, you know, that sounds even more, doesn't it? That's half a million. So I looked up 563 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, and it means bringing forth a lamb. It comes from Hebrew 560, command, declare, speak, and tell. And that bringing forth the lamb should remind everyone immediately of Revelation 12:13, where it talks about the woman who brings forth the man or the lamb, right? The man being the lamb. And remember, we follow this lamb wherever he goes, right? Praise Yahweh. So in the fifth book of Israel, chapter 18, verse 47, the fifth book of Israel, 18, verse 47, it says, and he's speaking of Isaiah 2, and he's talking about the house of Yahweh here, and he's saying, we'll be raised above all congregations. Eventually, it's going to rise, Pastor says. As the other mountains fall, this mountain is going to grow. Remember the title of the speech, This Tree is Growing. as the other trees die and their leaves fall, this tree is going to flourish. Yahweh says, it's going to increase and take over the world. It's like the mighty tree that the birds go to and flock. They flock to it for shade and shelter. That's what the house of Yahweh is described as in these last days. This is not going to fall. Yahweh says, that's a promise to you. Yes, praise Yahweh, right? Now, Yahweh says this house is not going to fall. He says it's going to be raised. He says it's going to be raised above all congregations. Remember, he says, though it seems slow, we have to wait. This work will, you know, we're going to start seeing the fruits of this work. Now, I want to read to you. It's a press release. And it says, House of Yahweh receives 2019 Best of Abilene Award. Okay. I'm going to only read a part of it here. It says, Abilene Award Program honors the achievement. And it says, Abilene, November 29, 2019, reading it how it says, House of Yahweh has been selected for the 2019 Best of Abilene Award in the Religious Organizations category by the Abilene Award Program. How about that? How about that? So now I was so excited about this. So I put in the Yametria. Should I show you what's in the box first? You want to see what's in the box? Okay, I'm going to show you what's in the box, and then I'm going to put something else on the screen. Okay, do you see this? Okay, it's beautiful. Now, can we put it on the screen as well? We got another one to show you there. Can you see that? House of Yahweh. House of Yahweh. We are rising. The house of Yahweh will never fall, right? That's a promise. So, you know, I thought, we were chosen Best of Abilene. So I put in the Yametria, chosen Best of Abilene. Do you see that? Do you see that? Okay, so I'm going to stay on this for a while there, so you can kind of keep looking there, because we're going to stay here. And it's number 179, 531, and of course, 1074 came up, okay? Those of you who do not understand about the 1074, I'm going to show you a quick picture of the overseer. And we'll just keep that up for a second. But he has a car tag that was issued to him. There's that 1074. Do you see that that's part of his car tag? We're not showing the whole thing, but that's his tag that was given to him. And believe it or not, you used to have tags that would change all the time, and you'd have to get a new number. But once we got this tag, they passed this new thing where you keep your tags. That number is going to be kept, okay? So Yahweh has tagged our overseer. It's a major thing, and we are tagged with him. Okay, so now we're going back to this chosen Best of Abilene. Number 179, number 531, and number 1074. We know that in the Hebrew, the 179 comes from a root meaning able. In the Greek, it means permanent, endless. I want you to write down for your notes Daniel 7, verse 18, because this permanent and endless should bring to mind right away that the saints of Yahweh will possess the kingdoms forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Okay? It's endless. Do you see that word endless there? Okay, the next number is number 531 in the chosen Best of Abilene, and it's number in the Strong, Hebrews 531 is strong. It means strong. Now, that should bring to mind right away Malachi 4, verse 5, that when Yahweh sends his great teacher in this time period, our great overseer, in this time period, and he starts teaching the Ilya, the strength of Yahweh, and turning the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children, right before the saints will take and possess this kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, okay? Now, the Greek 531, it means not passing away, unchangeable, This should bring to mind right away, you can write down for your notes, unchangeable. Hebrews 6:17, where it talks about Yahweh's plan being unchangeable, his unchangeable plan. And remember that Yahweh is unchangeable, and the overseer has told us that we should become unchangeable as well. Now, that not passing away, that should bring us to Matithia 5. So you could write this down, Matithia 5, 17 and 18. Don't even think that I've come to do away with these laws, because unless heaven and earth pass away, these laws are going to stand forever. And we know that heaven and earth will not pass away, and that word means not passing away. Now, we also know Matthew 16, 18 says the gates of hell will not prevail against this work. It's forever. It's endless, 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 endless. Now, that word 1074 in the Hebrew, remember, it's firstborn, but it goes back to the word first fruits. That should bring to mind, you can put down for your notes, Revelation 14, verse 4, where it talks about the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And it talks about how we, his servants, will follow Yahshua wherever he goes. Now, who are we following? We don't have Yahshua walking around on this earth with us right now. So we follow who? Israel Hawkins, our great overseer who's been chosen. And that word 1074 in the Greek is a generation, an age. That should bring to mind Matthew 24. Verse 34 for your notes, Matthew 24, verse 34, that this generation will not pass away until all these prophecies are fulfilled. Right, House of Yahweh? Okay. I hope you got down all those scriptures, because right now, we've been chosen the best of Abilene. Pretty soon, we're going to be chosen the best of Texas, and eventually, the best of the whole universe. Praise Yahweh that we are in this great work. And at this time, if you'll all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great and mighty priests in Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh.
Behold, the best of Abilene. Praise Yahweh. And this time we get to hear from great deacon Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us. We're going to start off, turn over to page 967 in your books of Yahweh. First Yochanan 5. What a wonderful blessing belonging to Yahweh. What a wonderful blessing belonging to Yahweh. Okay, so we're at First Yochanan 5, page 967. And we're going to start at verse 18. We know that whoever is born of Yahweh does not sin, but he who has been begotten of Yahweh keeps himself, and the evil one does not touch him or her. We know that we belong to Yahweh. We know that we belong to Yahweh. We know that we belong to Yahweh. And if you look back up to verse 18, because we do not sin, we choose to follow the teachings of Yahweh's house and the instructions from our counselors and the priests and priestesses. Okay, we know that we belong to Yahweh and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one or the gods. And we know that the Son of Yahweh, or Yisrael Hawkins, has come and has given us an understanding in order that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, for we are in his Son, Yahshua Messiah, and in his Son, Yisrael Hawkins, and the priests. For we know that we are in his Son, Yahshua Messiah. Yahweh is the true Father and the eternal and eternal life. So we know that we belong to Yahweh, and we keep his laws, statutes, and judgments, and we follow the teachings of his house. We know that we belong to Yahweh. A few weeks back, Pastor had mentioned the saying, belongs to Yahweh. And he said, go look that up. I went and looked it up. I looked it up in the codes, but do you know which number it is? 1074, sure enough. So that is the title of this code search, Belongs to Yahweh. So let's get right into it. Some really amazing stuff in here. So here we go. Okay, let me get this positioned. Okay. So first, of course, belongs to Yahweh is the main. And the code program always puts it in the center and puts different shape around it. Okay, it's always circles. So it belongs to Yahweh, came up right there. All right. Then, right here, of course, Abraham. Abraham belongs to Yahweh. Then right here, we had Daniel. Daniel belongs to Yahweh. Okay. Then over here, we had 1934. We had 1934. Then over here, this came up twice, here and here. And it's the word creation. Creation belongs to Yahweh. Then this long one that goes all the way across here, that one is Abel. Abel belongs to Yahweh. All right. And if we look right here, Clyde. Clyde belongs to Yahweh. Pretty amazing. Okay. Then over here, Abel Way belongs to Yahweh. Abel Way. Oh, boy. Okay, then up here we have Laws of Yahweh, Debar Yahweh. Laws of Yahweh belongs to Yahweh. Okay. And if we go over here, Unity. Unity. Okay. Then we have, right here we have Wisdom belongs to Yahweh. Wisdom. Right here we have the House of Yahweh belongs to Yahweh. Then we have Isaiah. Isaiah belongs to Yahweh. Breaking my concentration here. Okay, so morals. Morals belongs to Yahweh. Okay, morals. And this is where I usually get lost. Okay, then right here, this right here, this is Samuel. Samuel belongs to Yahweh. All right, Samuel. Then right here, two olive trees. Two olive trees belongs to Yahweh. Then we have, right here, seventh. Seventh, and of course that cross is Abel, and also connects to creation. Seventh. All right. Then over here, we have Yisrael. We have Yisrael belongs to Yahweh. Then we have Jacob. Jacob belongs to Yahweh, the two witnesses, the two olive trees. Okay. Then this one right here is prophecies. The prophecies belong to Yahweh and are for the called out ones. And last, salvation. And salvation connects to belongs to Yahweh, for salvation is only from Yahweh and only from Yahweh's house. Salvation. Okay? Now there were some other interesting words that came up that were pretty amazing. Copier. Copier came up. Interesting thing, the copier, the Xerox copier, was invented in 1937, 3 years after Pastor was born. And it was invented on the kitchen table of a man who had just parts that he put together. And he had gone to a professor friend of his at the college who was into physics, and he said, "What you're doing is actually xerography." So he goes, "I'd call it a Xerox copier." And of course, that's what Pastor used in the early days of the House of Yahweh. It was a copier. Okay? Uprightness, hope, knowledge, redemption, praise, the prophets. And then this word came up, and I asked our mechanics, carburetor. And I asked Pastor, and he goes, "Well, you know, it used to be that a carburetor was on every vehicle, every motor had a carburetor on it. And what it does is it feeds the fuel to the motor for the motor to work." So, and if anybody can come up with any ideas why that's in there, that'd be great to know. And of course, the last thing that came up, and it was in there three times, was the word work. Okay, work. And what word goes with work? Hurry, that's right. Now that's all the time I have for you. We have some very, very incredible code searches coming soon. Yahweh bless your understanding. Have a great Sabbath day. And at this time, I have the great joy and honor to turn it over to a dear friend and a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawken.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with everyone. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Let's put up the title slide for everyone. Okay, today is going to be part 7 of the series on the builders, architects of deception, and we're going to call it the benefactors. So we're all going to learn a new word today, right? Okay, go to the next slide, and I'll show you where I left off last time, because we're going to come back to this, but we've got to lay some more groundwork first before you can understand the subject of Washington, who is called the pater of the country, the father of our country. That's what that word pater means. Just want to remind you that we're going to come back to that, and we're going to see how this all ties into pastors' move to Romney and Cross Plains in 1961. But before we do that, everybody turn over to Luke 22. Luke 22. On page 809, we're going to read Luke 22 in verse 24. Now there also developed a controversy among them about which of them, talking about the disciples, should be accounted the greatest. So Yahshua said to them, and I'm going to tell you something right now. What he said right here is loaded, okay? You could do probably, I don't know how many quadrillion sermons on this one alone right here. This is a very deep subject. So he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise rulership over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But this must not be so among you, he said. For he who is greatest among you, let him be as the youngest, and he who is first, like the one who serves. So this, he says that there's these kings, they rule, but there's somebody ruling over them. There's somebody behind the scenes pulling the strings. And we're going to learn about that today. They're called benefactors. Let's go to the next slide. All right. This is from the 12th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 20, verse 55. Pastor says, well, in Luke 22 now, notice verse 25. He said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise rulership over them, and those who exercise authority over them, the kings, are called benefactors. Well, this is the same setup that you see today. You see people, Luke 22, 25, he says, you see the kings and you see the ones who actually control the kings. Malachi Martin says, speaking of the Rothschilds, that was one group. But these are people with money. They control the banks of the world. I think we got something on that we want to bring too. They control the banks, they control the money. Malachi Martin said they can throw billions of dollars to have a nation fall or a nation stand. They're the ones that govern who stands and who falls. They're the ones that tell the kings what to do. They give the orders. Let's go to the next slide. And let's learn the definition of benefactor. It says, a benefactor is a person who gives money or other help to a person or cause. Okay, now, a synonym of benefactor is that word patron. Notice, patron is a person who gives financial or other support to a person, organization, cause, or activity. The word patron comes from Latin, look here, pater, meaning father. Think of how a father is supposed to financially support his kids, it says. Now that patron, I put that first line in there. The word patron comes from the Latin pater, meaning, or pater meaning father, and I got 3054, which means Judah. This is perfect, because that's exactly what we're going to go into right now, Yada. And who's backing this Vatican? Yada on the Seven Hills. Can I go to the next slide? First, we got to do a little bit of history on the what's called the Federal Reserve Bank here in America. Let's start with us. On December 23rd, 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed by the 63rd U.S. Congress and signed into law by President Woodrow Wilson on notice 12/23/1913. And if you'll notice, the next one, it says Woodrow Wilson, the Federal Reserve history. This act in 1913 is what created the Federal Reserve Board and the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. There's 12 banks around the United States that form this Federal Reserve Bank. Okay, but notice Federal Reserve Board 1223. Yahweh gives you the exact day that it was passed. Okay? Came from the 1223 Act of 1913. Let's go to the next slide, because though the act was passed, and by the way, they passed this act, it was really slick. They did it 2 days before Christmas when no one was there. When none of the Congress people that actually would have voted against it were there, they went ahead and slid it through, these sly banksters. Okay? Now notice this, it says reserve banks open for business. November 1914, it says the 12 locations of the decentralized component of the Federal Reserve System opened for business on November 16, 1914, just 7 months after the locations were selected. Now, 1116, just for your notes, I know off the top of my head means high places. Okay, I remember that because I remember on 1116 of 2013, we went to D.C., which was a high place, with Obama, and actually, Mr. Obama, Malik Obama, and 1116 actually means Bama. Do y'all remember that? Now notice this, when you put in the Federal Reserve System, which it's called, look at the Yematria, 1914. Wow, what a coincidence, right? Yahweh gives you the exact year in the number there. Is Yahweh not in full control of this thing? Now, remember that word benefactors. It's the ones that are behind this system here, the ones that are given the money. Let's go to the next slide. Notice it says, a benefactor of the wars of the kings, 1914. Benefactors of the United States. You see that 1914 again, right? These are the ones that are backing this system. Now notice, let's look at these other numbers, 319, it means descendants, end, final period, latter period, posterity. From 310, and it means after that again, persecute. Now, in later sermons, we're going to tie this back to the Tower of Babel, back in the beginning, in Genesis 10, to show you how all this went all the way back. And actually all the way back to the evil tree that Cain was the pope over, which we showed a couple sermons ago. That second number, 1295, means man as a benefit. Remember a beneficiary? When you add up those numbers, you get 3528, and it means formally from 3527 to augment, to be much or many. And 3528 in Greek means conquer, overcome, prevail, subdue, conquest, victory. Yes, remember this beastly system, it is prevailing at this time, but there's something that's backing this system, like Pastor said. Now remember, 1914, okay, the Federal Reserve went into action. The act was passed in 1913, and lo and behold, let's see what occurred in 1914. Can I have my next slide? War. World War I. Right after all this stuff goes into action, right? Now, I want you to remember something about these benefactors. You know, these bankers, you know they're providing money to both sides, right? You know how it's how they're making their money, right? They fund both sides of the war. And they rake it in. Let's see about this person that Pastor just mentioned about the Rothschilds. Can I have my next slide? Here's the Rothschilds. They're a Jewish noble banking family. You know how much they're actually worth? You'll never guess. The estimates are upwards of $500 trillion. $500 trillion. But nobody really knows. But let's look at their insignia here on their coat of arms. By the way, coat of arms, 666, you remember that, right? Concordia Integritas Industria. You know, it's all about industry and making money. Notice it comes out to 1914. You see that? That's one clue. The Rothschilds, the Red Shields. You see that red shield in the center? By the way, this banking family, Rothschilds, they weren't called the Rothschilds. They named themselves the Rothschilds. They changed their name to Rothschild at some point in history. We'll get to that later. But first, I'm going to prove to you, Yahweh's going to prove to you, who's behind the Vatican. Can I have my next slide? Rothschilds, the Vatican. You see that? It says 238 is the first number. It's from 241, and it means to reveal. Yes, Yahweh's going to reveal to you who's behind the Vatican, just like Pastor already told you. And it means revelation. The second number, 1428, means bank. Can you do that? The third number, 1429, also means bank. Bank, the Rothschild Bank, right? The bank. That picture down there is Meyer Amschel Rothschild. He's the pater of the family. And his sons went out into different parts of the world and opened banks, okay? And funded wars. Let's go to the next slide, if that's not proof enough. Rothschilds, the Vatican. Let's look at the first number, 238. We're adding this up here. We added it up, and we came up to 3095, and it means to smite, to hammer, to strike down, overcome, beat, trample down, stamp, conquer, overcome. 3095 in Greek means magic, magic arts, sorcery, sorceries. Remember Revelation 18? It says they deceive the nations with their sorceries. This is who's behind it. It means to practice magic or sorcery, magical arts, use sorcery. From 3097, a Magian. An Oriental astrologer, a sorcerer, a wizard, a magi, wise man. From 7248 in the Hebrew, meaning Rab Mag. That's the chief soothsayer, an official of the Babylonian king, the chief Magian. Yes, from 7227, meaning Rab, captain, elder, master, prince. Yes, and that's where he resides, in the Vatican. And who's behind him? Yes, Rothschilds are one of them, right? We're proving that. Let's go to the next slide, because I put in all those definitions right there, and I got, lo and behold, I got the word 3045, which means yada. 3045, it's pronounced yada, and it means to know, had knowledge, illiterate, ignorant, instructed, skillful, famous, prognosticator, cunning, to ascertain by seeing. This is the word that's used in Genesis 3:22 when it says, you will know righteousness and evil. It's the same word, 3045. Goes back to that evil tree. See that? An evil tree, 666. Well, let's look behind some more about these Rothschilds in the Vatican. Let's see what else Yahweh's going to prove to us in a huge way right now. Let's have my next slide. Rothschilds, the Vatican. You got 1428, 1429. I've already showed you that means bank. Notice the benefactor of the Vatican also comes out to 1428, and it means bank. Bank. But let's add those up, 1428 and 1429, since Yahweh put them together like that to make a big point to us. Let's see what this reveals. It comes out to 2857, and it's the Hebrew word Chatham. Chatham. Well, that should have rung a bell right away, because the Rothschilds run what's called the Chatham House. You know what the Chatham House is? It's a think tank. It's a think tank where they all sit around in Britain and they dream up how to go to war with somebody. It's just like the Council of Foreign Relations here in America. Okay? The Chatham House. Notice who sits on the boards of directors. Every one of them are Rothschilds. The Chatham House by the Rothschild Foundation. There's the picture of it down there. Isn't that amazing that it means seal? It means seal. And we'll get into more of that later, but think about the great seal on your dollar bill. The great seal with the pyramid. But also think about sealing up the vision or sealing up the book of Yahweh and locking it away. Sealing it up. Let's go to the next slide, because that word Rothschild, yes, it means red shield, but it also means children of wrath or children of wrath or wrath or anger. Rothschild children of wrath, 1776. That's the number on the base of that pyramid right there, the great seal of the United States that says Novo Ordo Seclorum, New World Order. The Tower of Babel from the beginning, which we're going to prove. We're going to show this to you. Right now, we're just going to kind of lay a groundwork. Now, something occurred in 1776 besides the signing of the Declaration of Independence. A group was formed by a man named Adam Weishaupt of Bavaria, which is in the Holy Roman Empire, Germany. The Illuminati is what it was called. The Illuminati is a name given to several groups, both real and fictitious. Historically, the name refers to the Bavarian Illuminati, an Enlightenment era secret society founded on 1st of May, 1776. That would be 5176, right? Now, Adam Weishaupt was a Jesuit, a Jewish Jesuit, that was funded by guess who? Mr. Rothschild. Mr. Rothschild. So 5176 means a serpent. A serpent. From 5172 to practice divination. Remember the divining serpent? Remember who they're tied in with? This divining serpent, Yada, on the seven hills. This is the money backers. Come on, next slide. Rothschild Bank, the Vatican. Let's look at these numbers. 266, that should be familiar to you. That's the Pope 266 that meant fraternity, brotherhood. You know, like Masons, fraternity. 266 in the Greek means sin, sinful deeds, do wrong, sin. The second number, 1596. Well, this tells you something. Treasury. The treasury, you know, the money men. The men with the money. The benefactors. The third number, 1482, tells you even more. It means a whelp of a lion. Remember Yada, the lion's whelp? That's what's used in Genesis 49, 10, and 11. To stir up trouble, to quarrel, be continuing. Remember, it's continuing from Genesis 10. We're going to get into that more later. To turn aside 666, remember that? To turn aside from the road for a lodging, for a lodge, you know, like a Masonic lodge. To gather for hostility against Yahweh's house, Yahweh's people. And that 1482 in the Greek means Gentile, pagan, a company of troop of pagans. Let's go to the next slide. They came out with a movie, by the way, in 1934. You see that? It was called The House of Rothschild. The very year Pastor was born. The House of Rothschild. Let's look at these numbers. Again, it means bank. 1428, right? Bank. You do that. Thousands, millions, trillions of years in advance. You can come up with this, how Yahweh put these in these numbers. He's showing you the word bank. And then he shows you something else. That third number, 894, means Babel. Babylon. Babylonians. From 1101 to mix, confuse, and confound. Can I have my next slide? When you add up these numbers in the house of Rothschild, you get 2560, which means be red. Be red. Well, notice here up to the right here, it says Rothschild in German means red shield. Red. To be red, from 2564, bitumen, which was used for cement in building Babel. Wow. Can I have my next slide? Remember in Luke 22:26, Yahshua said, "This must not be so among you, this lording it over one another. For he who is greatest, let him be as the youngest." As the youngest, 1074. Somebody's tag we know. Now that number 2226, that's the scripture I'm reading from. I'm going to tell you more about that next week, because last week Pastor called me at 7:22 a.m., keep that in your mind, and he woke me up. Yes, I was sleeping, I must admit. I was sleeping, and he woke me from my sleep, and he said, "You know how many people were watching services last week?" He said, 563,000. So I put in 563,000 and I got 2226. That's Luke 2226. Now I'm going to leave you hanging on this because my time's already up. In Genesis 38:27, Yada had a wife named Tamar. Yada, remember Yada, right? Had a wife named Tamar, and she had two children. One of them's name was Perez. The other one's name was Zerah. Zerah, which means scarlet, red. Scarlet. Zerahites. Who could this be? Can I have my last slide? Zerahites. I'm going to just set you up for the next one. Zerahites. Can I have my next slide? Last slide. Zerahites. 666, does that give you a clue? Zerahites, the Rothschild, 1674. Zerah, scarlet, red, Rothschild, 1674. The mystical mark of the beast, 1674. Keep that scripture in your mind down there, Isaiah 1:18, about sin. Your sins are like scarlet, and they're red like crimson. Remember, this isn't about just the Rothschilds. This is about a character. A character of the people in this world that we're trying to get out of us to become perfect in these last days. And we'll continue on this. If everybody would please stand. And at this time, it's my great honor and opportunity, it's been a blessing, to present to you the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. And of course, in the news today, the main thing that we want you to notice and see is how Pastor here has us preparing for a great nuclear war that is to come. Both mentally and physically, he has us preparing for the things that this world is going to come upon them like a thief in the night. But watch how this world is also preparing for what they know is coming. And it starts out with Russia and China. There was a pipeline, it was agreed upon, it was about 5 years ago, and remember, the United States was bidding to supply this gas to China also. The United States, it's important to note and get into this, that the United States and Australia supplied the gas that is being replaced. And this pipeline is coming from Russia into China. Now, the important part of this is there's no sea lanes that are needed. It's literally coming, being piped in from the Siberian parts of Russia into China. So it really passes no other countries than those two. It goes from Russia into China, where no one can really stop it. Now, it's a $400 billion agreement, but it's only 10% of China's use of natural gas. Now, why is this so important, and why did the United States not like this? For one, no petrodollars being used, so there's $400 billion gone that the petrodollar could have been used in. But also, it's an initial project. They've already started the next one. So they're starting to phase out their other suppliers, which is one being the United States. Well, why would China see the need to cut away from the United States? Well, notice also that Iran, Russia, and China are having war games in the Indian Ocean. Why are they practicing? What is it that they're expecting? What is coming upon them that they see on the horizon? Well, then you have NATO. Now, NATO just had their 70th annual meeting. And, of course, it was supposed to show the unity, the camaraderie, the blessings of NATO. And they got in London and they argued and they griped and they fought and they just don't like each other. And you'll see where they're actually making fun of each other. Cameras everywhere that you would think they would know that these things would get picked up. And then you'll see an interview where Macron, who is the president of France, and President Trump are together. And watch President Trump's attitude towards how we shouldn't say bad things about people. It's amazing to see. Then Russia telling NATO to back off its borders. Russia sees this buildup. They see this swaying of other countries to try to get them to join NATO. And keep in mind, you have people like Turkey, who's part of NATO, that, well, they're still looking at Russia as a friend. And that's not something you can do if you want to be a member of NATO. And you're hearing another name, another country that's coming up in NATO, where they're saying, as if you remember, we showed the news a couple weeks ago where Macron said that Russia is not the enemy and NATO is brain dead. Well, NATO has found a way to incorporate a new enemy. And remember what pastors brought. Remember what Malachi Martin said, because China is now working its way in as the enemy of NATO. Even though China has never attacked Europe or North America, well, they're an enemy of the city that sits upon seven hills, because that's truly who runs the army. So when you see these things, when they start talking about China being an enemy, who are they an enemy of? Why are they an enemy? Well, of course, it's because neither one of those countries has ever allowed a pope to visit. They're not Catholic. They don't support the Catholic Church. And you remember that. We brought that during Passover, where China and the Vatican was supposed to sign this large deal, and it never came to pass. China didn't want anything to do with it. Well, with all these things taking place with NATO, you also see President Putin. Now, it's transcribed at the bottom. You'll have to read it. Where President Putin acknowledges, as Pastor was speaking about here lately, that the United States is now going to use space as, he says, a theater of war. Looking to space as a theater of war. And, of course, Russia acknowledging that, showing that they're going to do something in themselves. Then, of course, you have this push for peace. And write this down, because it's called the Tracks for Regional Peace. And this is something that hasn't been out in the news much, but it's starting to come out in the forefront. And don't confuse it with a two-state solution, because they're saying this is a peace for the Middle East, and it involves Jordan and Israel and also Palestine. But it's not the two-state solution. What it is, they're preparing Israel and Jordan to be a hub, and they're trying to bypass the Strait of Hormuz and, of course, the Horn of Africa. Those are two points that they can control. Iran can control the Strait of Hormuz by making it a disaster for anything that passes through it. The Horn of Africa is also something that, through the influence of Iran, they feel can be shut down. So they're looking at putting a railroad system so they can track things from Saudi Arabia into Israel, with Israel being the main hub and also Jordan. But why would they do this? Well, of course, they're preparing for something. And look at the countries. Look at what they're avoiding. Look at what they're trying to get around. People are trying to prepare for life if they can't do it this way. Well, that means they're not looking towards fixing relations. They're looking towards making the relations more harsh. They're looking towards damaging these relations even more. And then Russia, of course, advertising its new missile, and it's called the Skyfall missile. And we picked this one article because it describes the Skyfall missile the best. It is the missile that Russia says can reach the United States. In fact, they specifically say can go from Moscow to New York City. Remember the Mark of the Beast, part one, Moscow to New York City in 1 hour. It can get there in 1 hour. And then North Korea, of course, not to be left out, saying that they have a Christmas present for the United States, and the United States is being allowed to pick what it is. Of course, that's more threat, talk of war. But then you also have, while all of this is taking place, you also have Congress, and this is kind of symbolic. Remember the last time the Embassy Act in Jerusalem was signed was a year ago on the 12th Roman month, the sixth day. And then when it was time to sign it again, they forwent that, and they went ahead and acknowledged it. So that put the peace plan back into play. Well, 1 year to the day of this actual signing of it, Congress voted once again Now, this was symbolic for the two-state solution. Once again, that's that seven-year plan that Daniel spoke about. But why would Congress need to re-vote on something that they all agree upon? Well, once again, if you remember that Tracts for Regional Peace, that was discussed, and you will hear in Rome. All of these things are working together. A two-state solution, hurt not the oil and the wine, and of course, control and sanction these other countries, because you're going to see with the United States re-sanctioned Iran yet again. And it seems as though these sanctions would have a stopping point, but they don't. They keep sanctioning them. They're twisting their arms, so to speak, to a point it will either break or they will submit. And that's what they're doing. And there's a lot of pressure and a lot of hurt falling on the people. But then you also show in Israel, they're reporting about this two-state solution. And it's important to notice, they talk about the dividing of these two states, speaking of the Arab state and the Israeli state. And they say the idea first came up in 1936 to put forth something like this. And once again, it shows us that all of these things have taken place in this last generation, because it started in 1934. But watch the strategic moves being made, and watch how there's no trying to fix problems. They're trying to prepare, and they are preparing for an all-out war. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hey, Yahweh. Beautiful, isn't it? Hey, you be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Look at the money we're spending on war. Wow. Think of all that could be done with the world's taxes right now. All of them's working to build missiles, to build bombs, nuclear bombs and missiles to carry them that can reach us in 1 hour. We'll have 20 seconds to respond by the time we find out it's on the way. Ah, really a beautiful world, isn't it? Just think of that. All nations have all their people working, paying taxes, all of them working and paying taxes to build death. Dying, you will die. Oh, boy. And they won't listen to Yahweh yet, but they will. Some of them are listening, but not nearly enough. We need the world leaders to pay attention. There is a way of peace. Texas pastor, this is coming from the newspapers now, that grabbed a newsletter of ours and printed it. Texas pastor states world would greatly improve if all people would greatly improve if all people were taught to seek Yahweh first, as Yahshua said, seek the kingdom of Yahweh first and his righteousness, then everything else would be given you. Pastor and overseer of the House of Yahweh, Abilene, Texas, that amazed me. If I can find that again. The 2,370 results every 44 seconds. Pretty fast. In fact, Rebecca said that adds up to 62,908,193. A lot of great comments, too. I got to show you the picture here. I don't know if anyone brought this number yet. If they didn't, they'll bring it next week, the Yamatria on this. And
2 weeks ago. It was 500. We broke all records 2 weeks ago. I think it was 563,000. And if you want to check those numbers out, they go to 562 in Strong's, 562, 561, and I believe it's 593. And they all have to do with the work that we're doing right now with this right here. But this week, we topped it again. I'll let you look at that and dream. That's 743,000 watching you last week. Watching you last week. A few comments. I was just telling Eliyahu that somebody from Nashville, they said they spoke with me, and they had some teachers with them, Christian teachers with them in Nashville, and they was very impressed. He said, the teachers are dead now, and I would sure like to see you again and meet with you again. But that was in Nashville, Tennessee. And we were down there playing songs and trying to get fame so we could, what I had in mind was we could get famous. Everyone would listen to us. See? But that didn't work out too well. But I met and talked to a lot of people. But then I got to thinking about it. I went back and read this again, and this was in the 80s. Now, in the 80s, we went back to Nashville. We went to, took a trip down through Louisiana and Mississippi, Arkansas, Florida, and Tennessee, and held meetings at all those places. We had the meetings all lined up ahead of time and held meetings at all those places, and I think that was when I talked to several people, and this is what he was talking about. But then it could have been now the Peaceful Solution Group. Do y'all remember going? In the 80s? Y'all were just little children when you were taken. Anyway, think on it. It might have been you, and it might have been that first trip of the Peaceful Solution. Well, here's what the world is up to. Navy approves $52 billion. That's like a planet Jupiter. I can't get that big. We got a viewing audience of about 250,000. Now I got to where I can fathom that, but I can't fathom this a billion yet. But Navy approves massive $22 billion contract for 9 submarines to boost the lethality, to boost U.S. lethality. If you look that word up, of course, this is lethal, comes from that word. Now, and here's what it means now. Of or relating to or causing death. They named it perfectly here. Capable of causing death. Gravely damaging or destructive. And that, of course, fits the scriptures. If you'd get that on there, side by side, it don't look too Ours looks a lot better, I think. But they're going to build 9 more of those, maybe 10. Of course, if you think about it, and you saw North Korea there a while ago, you saw North Korea and all these armies and the missiles. Well, it cost big money to produce these things. They got their people working, paying taxes. Now, every nation does. Every nation. They got their people working, paying these taxes. There was one more here that I wanted to list before I go into this sermon. Of course, Genesis 2:9 and verses 16 and 17. Now, Yahweh said, don't go this way. And this is exactly the way that Yahweh was talking about, this following the gods, evil like the gods, Genesis 3:5. I would that all you preachers would read that and pay attention to verse 5. That's what you're following. You're following Satan. And Satan is leading you to try to cause you to destroy the earth and the heavens that involve the earth. That's what the Savior tells you. And he said, if she could do that, she could stop the plan of Yahweh. She can't do it. Yahweh has set this. Now get this in your mind. This is Yahweh's plan. Nothing in the universe, nothing anywhere can stop this plan. That is Yochanan 1:1-5. And Yahweh is in full control of this plan. He allows certain things to take place. I would like today to show you the 6,000 years, because there was some question about the 6,000 years that it was already over. But see, that's knowing and not knowing. I can show you where it is not over. And it's, in fact, that from the time it started, from the time the count started, and I will, I'm going to. Probably not today, but think about this. They're building, it's taken $22 billion. They've already got trillions of dollars in this, and they have their people working all the time to keep them supporting this, the government, of course, keep them supporting the corporations. Which includes their churches, their religious churches, that if they'd read First John in their Bible, 1 John 3:4, verses 7 and 8, 1 John 3, verses 4, 7, 8, and 10, you'll see that this whole thing belongs to Satan. Satan is guiding it, and by deception, of course, and she's hoping to destroy the earth and the heavens that involve the earth to stop mankind from taking her authority. Well, we're not taking it. You know, she had it and she blew it. And then she caused mankind to reject it. Yahweh says, that's okay. I'm going to give you 6,000 years to prove. Now, he shows this in the feast days, especially in Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, also the Feast of Tabernacles. He shows it big time, and in other ways too. But he shows it, that it's 6,000-year plan that he has given to Satan and set it before heaven and earth. Set it before the heavens. The heavens are suffering the same thing that earth is right now. And their beings are adding money, working to support, to try to build a power to keep them winning the wars. That's what we're doing here on earth. Everybody's working to support. With their taxes, of course. Now, I'm not saying don't pay your taxes. I'm saying pay your taxes. That's what Yeshua said. But this is where your taxes are going, to build death for the human race, for human beings, to destroy the earth. Isn't that kind of ironic? But that's what's taking place. And they got the weapons now to destroy the earth in 1 hour, to burn the earth in 1 hour. Revelations 18, Yahweh predicted it. It's here. We got it. It came since 1934. It looks like even a fool could look at that and say, look, man, this is Yahweh. This Yahweh can really put it on the spot. He can tell you exactly and when and who. Well, that's Genesis 2. He tells you, don't follow this tree of evil. Evil like the gods, or dying you will die. Then the Savior takes up from there in Matthew 24, says it's all going to take place in this generation. This generation of the nuclear bomb, verse 29, that can darken the sun. In Revelations 18, that shows you the one-hour burning. Science backs that one-hour burning up and says yes, we can now destroy the earth in 1 hour. The one-hour burning. And we got the bombs to do it. Well, Yahweh has allowed, don't think he's out of lost control, he's allowed 6,000 years to Satan to prove what sin brings. Sin is the transgression of Yahweh's law. Yahweh says, follow these laws. Yahshua said, follow these laws and seek them first. Seek Yahweh and these laws first. And then all this wonderful stuff, authority, the abundant living, it's expressed throughout the Holy Scriptures. All of these things will be added unto you if you will. Yahweh has allowed this 6,000 years. It's not finished yet. I'll get to it and show you. But now it's really close. I can tell you it's really close. Well, that time period is at its end now. Most of these gematria, if you noticed, Yahmatria, most of it was showing the time of the end. The time of the end. Somebody called me and gave me that last night. I think it's the end days. I believe it was 1074. That's my tag number that they're showing today. And 828, that's my birthday. The end days. But all the stuff that was brought this morning, it was fabulous. Yes, praise Yahweh. For everyone. The things that was brought out, you'd have to be a House of Yahweh member and know some of these things, or it wouldn't make sense. Your matria wouldn't make any sense to you. The tag numbers, the other numbers that shows you the work will be done and how it's going to be done, people converted in this time period, and how many and everything is shown in both the prophecy and the matria. Don't forget, as we proceed here, Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Yahweh warns. He doesn't force his way now. He just warns, if you go this route, if you go the route of the Catholic Church, Peter, which means Cain, I don't know if that's been brought out yet or not, but it will. The Yematria shows it. From Jupiter. It's really great what it shows, and Cain being the first pope. The Catholic means God worship. That's what it means. They're universal. They worship all gods. They try to put one on top of every building they have, just row them up around the edges where everyone could see and gaze and just amaze their gods. They put their god days on their god's names on the calendars every day of the week, every month of the year. We got a sacred calendar that you don't have to pronounce those names. In fact, your scripture says, your scripture said, don't say their name. We have a sacred calendar that you could get free. We don't charge for anything, by the way. Well, Satan, by inspiring these wars, if you look to Yochanan or John, if you have a King James Version, it's 844. And Yeshua is speaking to this group. Now remember this, Yeshua is speaking to the group that came from Cain to Abraham, then the 12 tribes. Yahweh said, after 400 years, I'm going to bring your descendants out. Now, that is the descendants that he gave the opportunity to become a kingdom of priests, and they rejected it. They rejected it. They turned back to Egypt. Egypt means Egypt is the place where it began after the flood. It was probably there that it was going. It was near there, very near there. It's in Egypt, but not all over Egypt. It's where Cain and his crew set up. I'll get to all that later. There's so much I need to show you. The Egyptians, they worshiped all gods. When the 12 tribes went there, that is, when the 12 patriarchs went there, and they stayed for 400 years, and their descendants were brought out, of course, of Egypt. Their descendants were all Catholic. They worshiped gods. They weren't worshiping Yahweh. Yahweh offered this to them. They were Abraham's seed. And as a promise to Abraham and his plan, he offered this to the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes followed Moshe out, and then they turned against Moshe. They turned against Yahweh and rejected Yahweh. A lot of that is given in the 7th chapter of Acts that you could catch yourself up with. Not now. Listen to this first. And they turned against Samuel, said, we want a king to lead us. We don't want to follow Yahweh anymore. We don't want him leading us anymore. We want a king like all other nations. Well, they'd already been told, don't be like these other nations. If you're like these other nations, you're going to become defiled, confused, and you're going to bring perishing to the earth. Perishing. And that was promised in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Deuteronomy, the perishing. Following the gods will bring you perishing. Evil like the gods will bring you perishing. Whole world deceived. Get this, preachers. Revelations 12:9, whole world deceived. All the world, preachers, are worshiping gods, including yourself. All of you religions out there. Yahweh knows what shape you're in. He knows the confusion you're in. Can't you see the confusion with building these weapons to kill yourself with? Can't you see that out there? Surely you can see what the way the nations are going right now. They're not going for peace. They're fixing to burn this earth in an hour. They're getting ready to burn it in an hour. Yahweh prophesied the bombs would be here. Are they here? You saw them on the TV every day. They came starting in 1934. Look it up. The bomb started in 1934. That's the year I was born. The increase in knowledge, Daniel 12. Daniel prophesied knowledge would be increased. You know when it was started? You preachers out there. You know when it was started? All you politicians, listen to me. 1934 was when the knowledge was increased. Look up computer. That's all you got to do. Computer. That's how the knowledge was increased. The bomb. Look up the nuclear bomb. It started in 1934. I started in 1934. I was born in 1934. Yahweh says, I'm going to bring this to the whole world and show you what you've done and where it's going to lead you. Then the end will come. The Savior tells you that in Matthew 24:14. Read it for yourself, even in a Bible. Even in the King James Version, you can understand that. You'd be better off to get you a book of Yahweh. I started with the King James Version, and I was preaching in a King James Version. That's what I preached for the first several years, till the book of Yahweh was published. Well, here you are now, the 12 tribes of Israel, 4,000 years later, in Jerusalem, and Yeshua said, you're going to destroy this beautiful city. You're going to ply it like a field. Every stone of the temple is going to be taken down, removed. Well, it was removed. It was taken to Rome. All the artifacts. I'm just telling you history. I know you're standing there. Did he say the temple was moved to Rome? Yeah, that's exactly what history shows. What your scripture showed too. If you just get to study in the house of Yahweh, books of Israel, I don't know how many there are, but get the latest one. You could soon catch up, I think, if you would really put your time into it. You could catch up where all of this Yematria and the prophecies would all make sense. But here's the 12 tribes right here. That the leaders, Micaiah 3, the heads of Jacob. Micaiah talked to them. Remember that, you preachers, politicians? He said, you who hate righteousness. Yeshua said in Matthew 7, you can't be righteous and evil. You're either evil, you accept evil, the righteousness is gone. You're the tree of evil, the same as Cain. All the world went the way of Cain. That's Jude in your Bible. It's actually Jacob 1 verse 11. Well, here it was now 4,000 years later, and Yeshua was born. When he was 26 years old, he entered the ministry. That's a strange coincidence because, you know, I was 26 when Yahweh put me to pastoring, pastoring a church. That was mentioned this morning by Nimrod, in Nimrod. Can you imagine that? I was 26 years old. Jacob was 36 years old. That's where Jacob and I baptized each other. A little place called Romney there at Nimrod. And we baptized each other in the name of Yahweh. Well, here now in Yahshua's time, he had begun his ministry and he was speaking to the same ones we're speaking to today. The Roman empire, the system, the Catholic system of evil, worshiper of gods, evil like the gods. And Yeshua was preaching to them, and he said to them, your ruler is Satan. He said that several times, just like first Yochanan said it. You transgress the laws, you practice transgression. Just one law. You've joined the system. You transgress. You practice breaking one law. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's a law. That's a Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, where you're commanded to gather together. You practice breaking it, you belong to Satan. You don't belong to Yahweh. And the preachers, they're standing there telling you, oh, that's all right, just believe. We'll zoom you up. We'll zoom you up to heaven when you die. I wouldn't wait till I was dead to find out that that's a lie. You really need to read the scriptures while you can still read. This thing is coming, and it's coming very quickly now. This generation will not pass. This generation that started in 1934, it will not pass till all these things, including the darkening of the sun and the burning of the earth. And here he says to them, if you want to know who he's speaking to here, look back over to verse 12. Yeshua spoke, and look at verse 13. Pharisees said to him, this was the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians now call themselves Catholic again. They did this in Samuel's day, in 1 Samuel 8. Said, we want a king to reign over us. And they turned back to Egypt, God worship. That's about verse 7 or 8. Yahweh said they've been doing it all this time. Acts 7 said, did you think that Yahweh didn't know that you were sending all these, sacrificing all these animals to gods? Did you think he didn't know that you wasn't sacrificing to him? That's in chapter 7 of Acts. Speaking of this same group, this religious system, started by Cain, the first Catholic Pope, the first God worshipers. You're still worshiping all these dead gods. They know not anything, but you're worshiping them. If they could solve your problems, you think they wouldn't have by now? You see their mentality in sneaking down to earth and building a bunch of dinosaurs to fight each other. Think about that. Oh, we're not going to use these missiles and these submarines. We're just building them. It's just a show. Here they got all these thousands and thousands of troops, all fully dressed. What'd that cost? All fully armed. What did that cost? No, this is just all for peaceful services, defense. Nobody ever attacks anybody in this world. Well, why is the wars going on then? If they don't attack each other, why are these nations all at war right now? 27 million people killed. You got to be senseless if you can't see through some of this. Well, he's speaking to the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, the heads of Jacob, who took over the temple when Solomon was in his later age, couldn't fight back. The temple had got out of control, the power. They took over the temple. They had full control of it in the days of Yeshua. But he went there and taught them, and they murdered him. Before they murdered him, after the age of 26, you are of your teacher. This is verse 44. chapter 8 of John in the King James Version. His name is actually Yochanan. If you don't believe that, look up the name John in Strong's Concordance. And it will tell you his true name. You are of your teacher, the devil. That's Satan. Who is Satan? The devil. Revelations 12:9 says, Satan has deceived the whole world. Satan, that old serpent called serpent, remember serpent in Genesis 3:5, 3:1-5, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So it's all one person here that's doing the inspiring from Jupiter. Yes, from Jupiter. Inspiring from Jupiter. And whatever she who is your teacher desires you to do, you will do. She was a murderer from the beginning. A murderer. Who did she murder? From the beginning. She owns you, and you don't know who she murdered in the beginning? She owns you. You don't belong to Yahweh the Creator. As long as you're breaking His laws, you belong to Satan the devil. 1 John 3:4-10. Read it. It's only four verses. Surely you can take that much time to read out the King James or any other Bible. You will do. She was a murderer from the beginning. She killed Abel. She killed Abel. Now remember this, because I'm going to bring something else that Yahshua showed to clue you in a little more. And remain not in the truth. Do you see that? Don't tell me that this righteousness and evil can remain in the truth. Read the 7th chapter of Matthew. They didn't remain in the truth. It says it right here. Your Savior said it. They would not remain in the truth. They rejected the truth. The truth, Psalm says, is the laws of Yahweh. That's the light, the lamp. In these last days, it's the olive trees. That was so wonderfully brought out this morning by the great deacon, Michael Ossoff. From the beginning, she was a murderer from the beginning. Remain not in the truth. No, she accepted evil. Cain accepted evil. Cain taught the world. They had the world so defiled in that few years that they were on it that it had to bring a flood. It brought its own flood to clean itself up. Yes, and they were told that it would if they did this. Now the microorganisms are going to try to save themselves. All this was explained to Adam. Adam was a brilliant young man. He named all the animals on earth. If you think what Yahweh is showing you there when he said that, he is showing you how smart Adam was and how easily it is to be deceived. All you got to do is give in just a little bit. I've been tempted. I wasn't tempted, no. I wasn't tempted at all. But I've had a lot of people walk out because I wouldn't agree with them. Just different things, the feast days. That was one. They didn't want to keep the feast days. And several walked out. But I've had this occur. I see how easy it is. Yeshua had 5,000 that left him. Yeah, they all left. A few, though, are going to make it. Isaiah says, Yes, it's gonna be burned and few men left. Well, he said she was a murderer in the beginning. That pretty well ties it down to Abel. Remain not in the truth. She's not in the truth. You follow her and break in one law, and you're not in the truth. You're not. You break one law, you're guilty of all. Because you've joined the system. You're guilty of this God-worshiping system. Because there is no truth in her. Therefore, when you speak your falsehoods, yet you speak her words. She's put them in your mind. Because she is a liar and the teacher of lies. Yeah. Think of how foolish some of her lies are. You're about to get Santa to come down your chimney. Well, what if he don't come? What if he's got a fire in that? Will that wake you up and tell you that they're telling you a lie? What, you want to watch that Christmas tree all night? Jeremiah said you've decked it with Jeremiah 10, where he condemns it. He said you've decked it with silver and gold and got it all fancy for Santa, who's on a sled and got enough toys to treat everybody in the world who's been good on one sled. Wow. That's a super sled, right? Now, when it lands on top of your house, will your house support that? That's a present. Think about it. That'd be higher than this building. It's going to land on top of your house. Now, what if all this don't take place? You're going to tell your children then that you were just lying to them to begin with? Come on, man, wake up. You preachers and politicians. All lies, teacher of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, Yeshua came preaching the law. He says if you want salvation, eternal life, keep the commandments. That's what he said. In Revelations 22:14, he said, blessed are those who keep the laws. King James Version says commandments. They have right to the tree of life. You don't have any right to the tree of life at all if you don't keep the laws of Yahweh. And as that scripture, somebody brought it out this morning. They didn't give where it came from. But it's 1 Yochanan 5:2 that says, we know that the whole world lies in darkness. And we're the only ones that serve Yahweh and keeps the laws. But the whole world... Don't take out the word whole because you're in it. You preachers out there, you politicians, you're all in that word whole. Getting ready for Santa to come down your chimney. What if you don't have a chimney? What lie are you going to tell then? Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of... What's he talking about? Look at that word there. He's talking about sin here. You preachers, he's talking about sin. What is sin? Read 1 John 3, 4, 7, and 8, and 10. Sin. So if I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? If I've told you that there's going to be a bomb in this generation that they can darken the sun, and that bomb is actually developed starting in 1934. If you saw the bomb and the scientists that say this can darken the sun, wouldn't that be room enough for you to start believing your Bible? Believing the prophecies? But he says if you were keeping the laws of Yahweh, you would come to me quickly. The perishing, it does not come instantly. But over the 6,000-year period that Yahweh said in the beginning and said, go ahead, I'm going to place this before heaven and earth and let them see your outcome. That judgment of Yahweh is shown in several different scriptures. 6 days given to man, 1,001, the seventh day belongs to Yahweh, representing, of course, the millennial reign. You get the same thing with the feast. Seven days is the seventh day is of Yahweh. That's the Sabbath day of rest. Those who do not keep the Sabbath day, they have no rest, Revelation says, day nor night. They have no rest. No, they're too busy building bombs. 7 days is the day of Yahweh. The seventh day is the day of Yahweh. Some translations say the great day of Yahweh. Some says it's his vengeance. It's not his vengeance. he never gets angry. Not ever. They tried to make out like in the King James Version that he does, but he's in full control. Everything is going his way. Why would he get angry? But that seventh day is the day of Yahweh, or great day of Yahweh. On the great day, that's 1,000 years, the day for 1,000 years. One day with Yahweh is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So the seventh 1,000-year period, I'll give you this in Scripture. It comes in detail here a little and there a little as we go through this. Starting just after the nuclear burning is the millennium. Now, remember Yahweh's plan. Yahweh's plan is Genesis 1:26. I will make mankind. He's making mankind. Abraham was one of mankind. Abel was one of mankind. Yeshua said to these Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, he said, upon you is going to become all the blood from Abel. From Abel on to the end of this world of sin. End of the world of sin. On you. You're in charge of it. He is speaking to the Pharisees, who were the Catholics, whose heart turned back to Egypt, that was brought out of Egypt by Samuel. That's who he is speaking to. They called themselves Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians at that time. Acts 7 shows it more clearly and says, Moshe gave you the law, but you didn't keep the law. You sacrificed to gods, God worshipers. Genesis 3:5, evil like the gods. How much plainer could he get? But he wrote it here a little and there a little. So if you don't want to accept the truth, you can be like these preachers and hum-haw around and make every excuse. But if you'll read your own scriptures and see what they say, you'll see that there's no other way to salvation than what Yeshua said. That's keeping the law, the Ten Commandments, and so forth. 1:26, and then Psalms 8, 1 through 4, shows you. Well, let's turn there and read that. I'm out of time, but I'll just read this one. Psalms 8, I agree with you 100%. Maybe one of these days we'll just go all afternoon. One of my young children over here. Converted by my preaching, so he's my child. I'm his father, as your scriptures are. Well, here in chapter 8 of Psalms, how excellent is your great name in all the earth, Yahweh, our sovereign King. You have your glory firmly set, established. The word is established there, firmly established, above the heavens, above the heavens. It's above in rank, in glory, in honor. Yahweh never goes back on His word. He tells the truth. He tells you what is going to take place. If you do this, and every word comes true. From the mouths of babes and sucklings, you just heard it over here, strength by you is ordained, so you would steal the enemy, put a stop to the sin, is what He's talking about there, sealing the enemy. The enemy is bringing sin like the gods. The avenger would be crushed. When we consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, He made it all, and the Scripture says He does. No gods with Him. No gods has ever made that boast. If they did, they'd have to back it up, and they can't do it. The work of the moon, the stars, which were by you ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you're visiting him? For you have made him a little lower than the Malachim. You made him that way. See how you were made? You were made lower than the Malachim. You will crown him with glory and with honor. You will. See, He's in control. He allows Satan to do certain things and allowed 6,000 years for that to take place. But Yahweh is controlling this and bringing forth man, making him in His image and likeness. Verse 6, you made man to be the ruler over the works of your hands. That's the job. Part of the job is the one that Satan had, that she rejected and decided to go her own way and kill those who don't agree. Sounds like the great Roman Empire, right? Yeah. Inspiration, where did it come from? Yeshua said it came from Satan. You just read it. You will put all things, that means all. All means all under His feet. That's what you were made for. That's what we're here for today. In the last days, I will establish my house. He allowed them to go their own way. Get that in your mind. Satan to take over and go her own way. Yahweh allowed it. They allowed them 6,000 years. But in the last days, Yeshua said, is this generation. I will establish my house. Lo and behold, there was no house of Yahweh until this generation. Can you imagine that? No, the temple was not the house of Yahweh. Read Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. The temple was not the house of Yahweh. It came to be called that, the house of Yahweh. The people are the house of Yahweh. The congregation of people, that's the house that Yahweh dwells in and dwells among them. And that's what He's doing right now and making you. And it's multiplying, remember? Oh, there it is. It's multiplying. The few that will be left will be about 2 billion people that Yahweh shows will turn to Yahweh, including, by the way, the quartet, what's left of it. The quartet is going to turn. There's a lot more shown. Not more, but a lot is added when you get into into the gematria of the left, the people that are left, and the work that we will be doing after the millennium, during the millennium. It'll take 1,000 years for this earth to be cleansed, so we'll have to have special protection for that, which Yahweh says we will, to get through. Then after that 1,000 years and the earth, the radiation and the fallout, after that is cleansed up, which takes 1,000 years. Science knows that already. They got examples right now of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and they've already found out that it'll take 1,000 years for it to cleanse. Well, after that, the new heaven and the earth, new heavens and new earth, is going to be war in heavens too. Heavens are going to melt like fervent heat. That's going to be cleaned up. New heavens, new earth. We will resurrect Abraham and Abel. We'll resurrect those who have proved that they were capable. Some of them before the millennium, but the most of them will come after the millennium. And then we'll train them 100 years and see which way they will go, prove them. You got to be proved. You know, the people of the world, you're taught to make money, spend money, pay your taxes, build weapons of war. Now, that's what you're taught to be doing. The way of Yahweh, you're taught righteousness. Don't start wars. Don't start fighting. Yeah, the way of Yahweh teaches you salvation. You're training for Yahweh to take over the works of Yahweh's hands, and you'll rule like Yahweh rules, and the heavens know how Yahweh rules right now. He's already set that in advance, so they know it. They're anxiously waiting to see the true family, Yahweh's true house, true house. So in the last days, I will establish my house. I didn't write that. Your Bible says it, though. Micaiah, if you got a King James Version. Micah, if you Micaiah, if you have a King James Version. Micah, if you no, that's a book of Yahweh. Micah, if you have a King James Version. 4:1-3. 4:1-3. In the last days. Not the beginning days, not the middle of the days, not in Yahshua's time. No, no. In fact, he didn't build the house of Yahweh. He said he was going to. I'm going to. And then, if you just look and see, he's going to have unity. And Yahweh can only dwell where there's unity. That's what the scriptures tell you. And then the prophets also said in Zechariah 6, verse 10, keep this in your mind now. Crown Yeshua as king and priest. Crown the priest. Yeshua is high priest over the house of Yahweh. And in the last days, as Daniel said, I saw two people preaching in the future period. Well, two of those is shown in Zechariah 5 and 6 as being the two witnesses going somewhere to establish a house. And Yahshua will be the high priest as shown there. And one of them called the branch, they're called branches there in chapter 5. One of these branches will branch out, he said, and build my house, the house of Yahweh. But that's in when? Micaiah 4, 1 through 3. In the last days I will establish my house. Not the first days, not the middle days, but the last days. Yeshua said it, he called it the last days, that generation. Well, my generation started in 1934. It's not up yet. It's not up yet. We're building the house of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!